do you like? Movie podcast hosted by inebriated people. That's Kai with the cracking voice and Heather's touched by evil. One thinks he's Spider-Man, the other is a ninja. It's the Man I Love Film podcast, it's the MILFcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to MILFcast. This is the Man I Love Films podcast where we don't do movie reviews. Nope, it's a place where people like films get together and deal with that shit. I am your host, Kai. Joining me, as always, the one person on today's show who I guarantee is the least prepared. Give it up for Heather Baxendale. Say hello, Heather.
Why am I least prepared?
Sometimes
I write things down. I even have, like, notes and plan ahead sometimes, but usually when I do that, things suck, so it's better if I do off the cuff. So maybe I'm prepared, maybe I'm not. I'm not going to tell you.
I don't want to spend a moment with you before I'm going to spend a moment with you, so let's spend a moment with you.
Okay.
And now it's time for A Moment with Heather.
So, Heather.
Yes, what did I do this week?
Nothing. The onslaught of deaths continues, and I find it kind of depressing. 2016 is over. What the fuck? We lost Mary Tyler Moore this week, and last night I heard we lost John Hurt.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to go all Dylan Fields on the show here, but it sucks. It definitely sucks. I love Mary Tyler Moore. She's one of the original funny ladies for me. John Hurt's amazing. However, they were both old. This is not like shock that either of them passed away. It sucks, but it's not Bowie gone, Prince gone, you know, someone who's in their 50s and we're not anticipating it type deal.
I agree. I think it's worth mentioning. It's a bummer. You know what I mean? Like, Debbie Reynolds was older too, but, you know, it was a tie to Carrie Fisher, so I think that was kind of tragic.
That was awful because she was planning her daughter's funeral, and Carrie Fisher was just, that's still,
yeah.
I'll get all... Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm saying.
I kind of want to do, well, because of what we're doing on the show today, I don't want to get into a whole fuck you 2016, here we go 2017, and it, like you said, our buddy Dylan Fields like hates when people were saying, not again 2016, mm-hmm. as it happened seemingly daily, but they were worth mentioning. Mary Tyler Moore paved the way for many women in the industry and was a funny, funny lady. And John Hurt, in my opinion, is probably responsible for the most iconic scene in all of film.
Gotta agree with you there.
If not the, like, one of the. So, and I thought it was kind of funny because I thought of him the night before. I've been watching Trump tweet constantly. And we're not a political show. I'm not going to delve down there. But he is, like, he's constantly on Twitter saying shit that's somewhat inappropriate and seems somewhat like dystopian future president kind of thing. The other day he was calling someone a citizen, a traitor in capital letters. And when your president goes on Twitter to tweet that someone is a traitor, I just find that very like scary or Orwellian type shit. You know what I mean? And I was actually thinking of John Hurt the night before, because when I read that, the first thing that popped in my head was the giant image of John Hurt's head in V for Vendetta. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, shit, I hope we're not headed down that path. But and then
if we are, I'm not going to shave my head. It's not shaped well at all. And I don't look like Natalie Portman.
And I got moles on top, so I'm not going to either. But anyway.
Ooh, I want to see.
No, you don't.
Can I poke them? I want to poke them, Kai.
Are we still talking about the moles?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Rest in peace.
This has been A Moment with Heather.
All right, Heather, so this is a very special episode of MILFcast, correct?
It is. Very excited.
Yeah, we haven't done this in quite some time, but we're bringing it back. It's an annual tradition. If you have never listened to the show before, I recommend you go back to the shows we put out before the turn of the new year. We've done some things that we only do once a year, this last episode and today's episode. So if you want to know what we're really about, please go back to December or November, check out our last shows that we put out in our normal format. But as of today, we are doing our MILFy Awards. That's right. Award season kicks off now, if you ignore the fact the Golden Globes already happened. What we do is, basically, we look at the year in film, and we issue awards, MILFy Awards, ones that we come up with, for various films that came out in the year 2016. So that's what we're going to do today. And when we do this, we like to have on the same guests, because there's two people we know that we think are very funny, and we've known them for, God, what seems like, I guess it's nearly a decade now. They are former writers for the Green People Soup blog. They don't really do shit anymore. They can tell you that themselves, but we're going to introduce them anyway. So let's do it one by one. First of all, welcome Mark McDowell. Say hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you?
And his partner in crime. Shut up, Heather. Let me do my intros. God damn it.
No.
She's like a tantrum child, I swear to God. Give it up for George Bell. Say hello, George.
Hello.
He managed to bring that from before the show and work it in. I like that. All right. So, basically, this is a silly show. We've never taken ourselves seriously. We like to have fun when we talk about films, and that's what the point of the Milfie Awards was. And Mark had a thought, basically, before the show that I thought was kind of interesting. So, Mark, why don't you say what you were saying before we started?
Yeah, it's just earlier we were talking about how this day and age, like every blockbuster, whether it be Star Wars, Batman v Superman, whatever Oscar-worthy movie, gets really put under the microscope, and people are so very serious about it. Everybody has a blog, everybody has a podcast, everyone's a critic, and so it's just nice to be here where we can like not take things so seriously and just like, you know, do some stupid stuff and just have fun with it all.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to actually try and make you laugh and probably fail miserably, and I don't really give a shit. It's fun for me.
Miserably. So, miserably. I'm going down trying.
Yes.
I think they'll laugh, but it's the distinction of they're not laughing with us, they'll be laughing at us, which I'm totally comfortable with.
Yeah, that puts you right in your element.
I'm in my comfort zone. It's good.
So all we're going to do is we've made up these awards. We're going to go around the room for as long as time will allow or until we run out of ideas or till the fucking world blows up. I don't know. So we're going to start. I kind of want to start with Heather because she's unprepared and she doesn't like what she's done. And I'm really interested. So Heather, why don't you go ahead and issue your first Milfie Award of the year?
On the spot.
Oh my God. Okay. It sucks. They all suck. So I'm just preparing you. My first award is the DMX What's My Name Award. And it goes to Jason Bourne because this is the fourth film. And at this point, it really doesn't matter what's happened in the series or whether this is a good movie or not. But the title of this Bourne film, which is the only one that's happened so far that hasn't had the title of one of the original books in the original trilogy, is called Jason Bourne. But ironically, this is the first movie that we know his real fucking name is not Jason Bourne. It's David Webb.
Oh, thanks. I have the DVD from Netflix sitting on my counter and hope to watch it later, but now I guess I don't have to.
Ruined.
Well, you already found his name was David Webb in The Bourne Ultimatum. That's his real name. So the title of this movie is Jason Bourne. So it's not ruining anything. Yeah, but it does have a Con Air ending, and that's kind of fun.
Oh, my God, stop talking about it. No one is going to go see David Webb the movie.
I know, but it's still bullshit.
I remember nothing about it. I watched it.
And it doesn't...
It
doesn't have the same ring to it when, you know, at some point in the movie, Jason Bourne finally shows up and everybody in all the computer nerds go, it's Jason Bourne. It wouldn't have the same if it's David Webb.
Yes, exactly. It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's somewhat ironic that of the Bourne movies, you finally get to the movie that's called Jason Bourne. And we know that that's not his actual name.
Okay.
That's all. It's not good. I told you my thing wasn't good, damn it.
That's the one you're leading with.
Legitimate, motherfucker.
We're on track.
There you go. No, you set a good tone. You set the bar low. I like that. So let's move on. Let's go to, let's let Mark do one. Mark, what's your first Milfie Award this year?
All right. What to choose? We'll start with this one. Okay, this is, yay, though I walk through the uncanny valley of CGI, I shall fear no technologically resurrected from beyond the grave movie star performances. Goes to Rogue One. Peter Cushing and now, sadly, Carrie Fisher.
Oh, my God. I almost can you read that one more time?
Yeah, I had that on my list, but mine was not even close to as cool, so I'm just deleting right now.
Yeah, I'm happy to say, yay, though I walk through the uncanny valley of CGI, I shall fear no technologically resurrected from beyond the grave movie star performances. Goes to Rogue One.
Wow, that's impressive. I have to say, I think I've said this before, but I actually didn't know Peter Cushing was CGI. Leia, like, clearly was.
What?
But I literally, I don't know if it was where
they brought him back.
Yeah, they brought him back. Yeah, exactly.
You know he's dead, right?
I know he's dead, but I thought they cast an actor that looked like him or maybe even did some facial CGI. I didn't realize how CGI'd he was.
They did do that. It's my understanding they did have an actor.
They did.
And who would sort of do the motions, and then they did stuff to his face. So
Andy Serkis.
Was it Andy Serkis? Yeah, he's the go-to, right? I swear. I didn't know that, like, he wasn't as badly CGI'd as Leia was, per se. I guess.
And I don't understand why that bothers people like so much. Like, oh my God, it's the Uncanny Valley, and I don't like it. And I'm like, you know what? Can you just like shut the hell up and enjoy what they did? It served the story. You know, if what George Lucas said is true, he always said that, you know, the special effects like serve the story. And I was like, just go with it, all right? And shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Well, Grand Moff, that one I understood, and he was important to the story. Recasting him, it's okay. Do it or don't. But the choice not to, it wasn't completely distracting. I was wondering what the hell was going on at first, and whatever. But it was incredible, I think, the CGI was, but it's not perfected yet. There's still that, like, uncomfortable. If that was a video game, you'd be going, holy shit, that is insane.
You would.
I'm a total Star Wars nerd, but to hear like Tarkin again go, "Yeah, my file been ready." I mean, I was just like, "Yes!"
Yeah, totally. I agree. I had less problem with the Leia at the end though. Was definitely just, whoa! It was like she was almost glittery and sparkly, and
but it was like two. Like it was like 2 seconds.
Yes, true. And her compared to like Jeff Bridges and Tron Legacy, I mean, the technology is getting better. I thought Tarkin was much better done. Of course, he was like, you know, buried in shadows, so that helps, I think, like, kind of blur the edges of the CGI as opposed to Leia glowing white.
He already kind of has a big head, too, and he's wrinkly and stuff.
Yeah, so you just described my penis, a big head and wrinkly and stuff. All right.
I needed to know
some penises today. Kai wants to talk about his parts.
Oh, no, I don't. My kids started listening to the show here and there, and my wife has to turn it off at parts. I should really watch myself. All right, so let's move on to George. George, why don't you give us your first Milfie Award?
All right, I will start off with a man who is near and dear to my heart, I'm sure, as everyone knows. So here we go. Not the sequel we need, but the sequel we deserve, Milfie, goes to Kickboxer Vengeance.
Jesus Christ.
What?
I want to fight Tong Po.
Has anyone seen Kickboxer Vengeance?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't know it existed, to be honest.
Well, just keep not knowing it exists. That's fine. It's not even the story of the same character. He's just like the teacher mentor.
It's kind of cool that Jean-Claude over the past few years have had somewhat of a resurgence. You know, I kind of like it. But this is
when it's starring Scott Adkins Light, and Van Damme is just like in there sporadically. And it's the same movie. Yeah, you killed my brother.
I just want the paycheck.
Yeah. Terrible. F-.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got an easy one for my first one, so I'm just going to bang this out. And tell me if you agree with me. Since I started the show with death, might as well stick with it for one. How the fuck did you survive 2016 award goes to Sean Bean. Who's with me?
Yeah.
My hand is raised.
I have to admit, I'm out of the loop. What happened to Sean Bean?
He dies in every movie or show that he's on. So
that's true.
What's in his contracts?
Yeah, he must be living in a bunker through that whole year. I bet you he holed up towards the end of last year.
He had to have.
One does not simply survive 2016.
I lived in a bubble. I lived in all bubble wrap. Oh, I would live in all bubble wrap. That would be so much fun.
Heather is in rare form. All right, Heather. Let's see if you go up or down from that last one. By the way, question about your last one. Was it the DMX What's My Name Award?
Yes.
Isn't Snoop Dogg the one that did What's My Name?
No. Yes.
No. That's, both. Well, they both versions. They both do similar.
Get your rap facts right, will ya?
I never went deep on my DMX cuts. I should have.
Mine is correct, but you're not wrong.
Okay.
So let's put it that way.
Works for me. Go for it.
This is actually a pretty simple one that I've given out before. It's my Michael Bay award. However, I'm actually giving it to Michael Bay for 13 Hours, which is strange that I get to give Michael Bay his own award. I thought it was pretty actually reserved for Michael Bay, the movie itself, until we got to fucking explosions. I watched it at an early morning, and the sound system I have in my living room is just insane because my fiance has like serious problems with that stuff, and mine's not even close to as loud as his. And it was like, I don't know, 8:30 in the morning. The entire house was fucking shaking. It was so loud.
Who wakes up and throws on the last hours of, what was it? The last hours of Benghazi? What was it?
Yeah.
Who wakes up and like, you know, I'm going to watch that Benghazi movie while I eat breakfast.
Well, I've been up since like 4. You know, I get up early. I text you in the morning about how, you know, my
it's the pulse quickening.
But it was exactly what I wanted. It was a good movie, but it also had fantastically insane explosions, which I appreciate. So thank you, Michael Bay, and he gets his own award.
Yeah, he loves to bring the blow up, man. I actually kind of enjoyed that movie myself.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, too, the best part was it was actually appropriate. It was appropriate times. It wasn't overused. When it happened, it was like, holy shit. It was much more effective than it usually is.
And I have to give him... I have to give him props, too. I'm sorry, Kai. I give him props, too, because usually when you watch a Transformers or whatever, when the action's going on, you don't know what's going on. It's kind of incoherent. But yeah. This one, it was actually done pretty good. You kind of, oh, okay, I know these guys are over here and those guys are over there and so on and so forth. So it was done well.
And
it was.
I thought John Krasinski was actually really good in it.
I was surprised. There was, yeah, the other guy from The Office was in there, too. I can't think of his damn name right now.
Steve Carell.
Not, oh, shut up.
Steve Carell was the Taliban in that.
Michael Scott as the Taliban.
Oh my gosh, I would pay to see that.
Yeah, the English version of that was better though. All right, so
that's what she said.
Let's go. By the way, when you said Michael Bay brings the blow up, I thought of something entirely different. All right, Mark, let's go to you for your next one.
Okay, so my next one is Wouldn't You Like to Be an Asshole 2 Award. And that's going to go to Hell or High Water. Have you guys seen Hell or High Water?
Absolutely.
Yes.
With Chris Pine, Ben Foster. I don't know why. I product placement in movies like always seems to like irritate me, but I think they did a really good solid one in this one where they're at the convenience store. Chris Pine's coming out, and Ben Foster goes, "Hey, man, did you get my Dr. Pepper?" And Chris Pine goes, "Nah, man, they only had Mr. Pibb." And Ben Foster's like, "Only assholes drink Mr. Pibb."
Oh,
and
my God.
I don't know. I was just kind of enamored with that.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that when I was watching it, but you're absolutely right.
Just a very clever, you know, whether you're a Pibb or Dr. Pepper fan, it was just kind of nice they included both.
So are you a Pibb or Pepper? Are you Pibb or
Pepper?
I can drink. I can drink both.
Okay.
Wow.
A lot
no
of
loyalty
a lot
there.
Of Pibbers in California.
I'm an asshole.
California people are weird.
All right, George, let's go to you.
All right, let's see. Number two, I will go with the I Didn't Know I Wanted to Sleep with Aunt May Milfy, and that goes to Marissa Tomei in Captain America Civil War.
I didn't know that either, but yes, I would sleep with Aunt May for sure.
Me too.
Yeah. For all 2 seconds she's in there, that's fine. That was enough for me.
That's all I need.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei is aging wonderfully.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against the, you know, Sally Field or the Sam Raimi actress who did Aunt May. You know, she was kind of hot, too. But Marissa Tomei is where it's at.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't muddy anything. If anything, they have the actress for a lot longer arc if they want to carry on that storyline. You know what I mean? But I don't know why people had a problem with it, per se. Because, I mean, what's Tomei's got to be what, in her mid-40s?
Oh, probably pushing 50 now.
Probably pushing 50.
Yeah, she's got to be. I think she's 10 years older than me, so.
That
people had a problem because that's what people do. They have problems with every little
issue.
Because
it's different. Who cares? Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
I agree. Fuck people.
Okay.
And Marissa Tomei, but not in the bedroom.
That's, yeah. Please, people, hashtag fuck people at the end of this episode.
There you go.
All right, so my next one. Okay. This is like, I'm not the first one to make this joke, but I think it needs to be pointed out for the year because in a world where we had pun sequel titles like fucking Barbershop The Next Cut come out this year,
God.
You missed a gigantic opportunity goes to Now You See Me Too for not calling itself Now You Don't.
Oh, yes. That would have been perfect.
Oh, my God. Probably. Could you imagine going to Walmart? Do you guys have Now You See Me and Now You Don't? That would be awesome.
I'm kind of pissed now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been better.
All right. So,
yeah, you should get into marketing.
I should get into marketing. Heather.
Yes.
Now, Heather said she had two good ones, and we've heard two. So now I'm curious where this devolves into. Let's go.
I didn't think the Michael Bay one was bad.
Oh, I didn't either. I didn't say it was bad. I'm just telling you what you told me.
Oh, okay. I don't remember what I told you. Jeez.
Yeah, you said a lot of things.
By the way, yeah. When you text me when I wake up, I just assume it's an East Coast difference. You mean you're also staying up early 3 hours ahead of me?
Oh, yeah. I'm up at, like, between 4 and 5 every day now.
Ugh. All right. Well.
Yeah. It is what it is. I go to bed at, like, 9 now, too, and it sucks. But that's the schedule that I'm on, so it works.
I can relate.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Y'all got babies and shit.
We got babies.
Yeah. Babies and shit, yeah. They go together.
And shit, definitely lots of shit.
Oh, yeah, we've covered that on the show.
And puke and other bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Yep. Just, all of the fluids, they're everywhere all the time.
They're like, what were
those? Don't get a black light, please.
There was like a toy from the 90s you could like fill it with ooze and then you would squeeze it and it would just come out of every orifice. That's what babies feel like now that I don't remember, like, you know, I haven't had to deal with it for a long time, but now when I hear people talk about having children, it just feels like that. They're just oozing out of all holes.
If they're not yours, it's really disgusting. When it's yours, it's fine. But yeah. If it's somebody
else, you don't
else's,
mind. That's the odd thing. I don't
if
mind.
It's not mine.
Yours.
I punch him.
Yeah, I'm like, that's disgusting. Yeah, clean it.
I don't want to touch other people's babies most of the time.
Okay,
well, let's into the zoo pit for them.
Moving on.
All right, Heather, you're number three.
Oh, okay. Well, this one is my Kai Parker Award.
Oh.
Yes, it goes to Tom Hanks. Really? Meaning, you should not travel. Tom Hanks should not travel.
Never.
Certainly not by plane. Certainly not by boat. Don't
by
travel.
Train.
Yeah. Or maybe it should have been the Dr. Seuss Award. In a boat and a plane and on train. How many films is this now that he's been? There's at least two flying. There's Apollo 13.
It's Captain Phillips.
Yep.
There's on a boat.
That takes care of boats.
Splash. He almost drowns.
He doesn't seem to have
the money pit, too. You know, just being a simple homeowner, even when he stays home, Tom Hanks can't win.
Tom Hanks is trouble.
Yeah.
That's why he has to be so nice.
That's what we should take away from this.
It's just bad. So he should take a note from you, and he should stay home, and he should not fly, for sure.
He was dignified with the white hair and the mustache, though, I will say.
He does. I actually thought it was a follow-up to Monsters, Inc., but I was sadly disappointed.
Sorry.
I like that one because I will not fly. I absolutely refuse to fly. It's terrifying. So thank you for thinking of me, Heather.
You're welcome. It makes me sad all the time because Kyle never come visit me. Yeah. It has nothing to do with me living in Detroit.
No, you just take Qantas.
Take Qantas?
The safest flight. It's Qantas. Australian, isn't it?
They never crashed.
They never crashed.
Isn't it Australian, though?
But you have to go to Australia.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'll take a boat to Australia so I can fly to England. Oh, my God. So
okay, I can't argue with him too much. I'm terrified to fly. I just still fly, regardless of my fear.
I feel like if myself or Tom Hanks got on Qantas, it would go down for sure. We would ruin the streak. All right, let's go.
How do we test that?
You're not gonna, trust me. Let's go to Mark for your next one.
All right, so this is the He Should Have Gone to Jared Award, and that goes to Suicide Squad. Specifically talking about Jared Leto. It's hard for me to judge, like, would he have been a good Joker? Because he's in the movie as much as he's in the trailer, you know? And I know that behind the scenes, Leto is lamenting about, like, oh, we shot so much footage and so on and so forth. So if only David Ayer would have gone to Jared.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of Joker we're going to have.
You got to sing the song.
What's that?
Isn't
you
it
should
like,
only
you
be Jared again! Yeah.
I'm singing the Just Jared song in my head. It's jingle.
I was hoping there was not some weird Subway tie in there for that one that could have got like creepy. Really
no, 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 no.
Too
no,
soon.
No.
Too soon. Too,
too soon?
Soon?
We're still dealing with the emotions
soon?
Of that?
Yes, I am. I don't know about you.
I'm going to go with not shocked.
All right. Well, I want to jump in here. I'm going to jump ahead of you, George, since he brought up Suicide Squad, because I have a Suicide Squad one holstered. So let me knock this one out.
Do it.
I'm doing the cold shower thinking of grandma and baseball opposite of Viagra Award goes to Suicide Squad for completely killing my boner.
Ouch.
At the exact same time, I'm also going to issue the hottest thing since Michelle Pfeiffer in Vinyl Award goes to Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Yes.
All right,
yeah. Go sign on that.
Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing about her being so hot in that and the costume that she wore is the unfortunate fact that so many girls decided that was a great thing to wear for them when they don't look like that.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Because in their minds they do, and that's all that counts.
And then the unfortunate aspect of some parents thinking it's really okay for their, like, 7 or 8 year old daughter to wear that costume, and I'm sitting there going, I'm gonna throw candy at you and hope you die.
Well, if it's the G-string shorts, then it's inappropriate. They could also be cute. I swear, the safest.
They were not cute, Kai.
The
they
safest
were not cute.
Bet in
that
Vegas.
That could also be a Just Jared freaking.
Put you in timeout. I swear to Christ. I don't know what I was going to say. Heather just kept talking, and it's gone now. God damn it.
Got upset.
Now it sounds like Mom and Dad fighting at the dinner table, and then we all got to sit there and eat and act like fucking nothing ever happened. See? That awkward silence right there? That's Heather. I swear to God.
I'm not feeling awkward at all, just you.
All right. The safest bet in Vegas this year was going to be what is going to be the most popular Halloween costume for women, easily. Like, you knew you were going to see 1,000 Harlequins walking around, you know what I mean? Although, yeah. Hillary Clinton was probably second. All right, let's go to George.
All right, let's see. I'll go with the only movie to feature Samuel L. Jackson and a gorilla herding wildebeest, Milfy. And that goes to, it can only be one movie, Tarzan.
Tarzan? Oh, my God. Was Tarzan good? For some reason,
you know what?
That one
I will
good.
Defend that movie. I don't know the reception. I have no idea. I haven't been paying attention to shit, like, critically. So I don't know what the reception is, but I thought it was a good movie.
It was kind of a sleeper hit. I thought it did, like, very well, at least. It wasn't, like, a super smash hit, but I think it was respectable business.
And I gotta say, Tarzan, to me, it's kind of up there with Zorro and some of, like, some of those older kind of heroes that were from the generation before us. They kind of bore me when I hear they're going to remake them again or they're going to do a movie based on them with, like, a few exceptions. But Tarzan falls into that for me. And I'm not a huge fan of the dude that they cast to play Tarzan in general.
Wait, hold on, let's unpack that. What is going on there? What's wrong with you?
Maybe it was the remake of Straw Dogs where he plays the creepy dude that kind of fucked with it for me.
I passed on that. I actually forgot that existed.
Yeah, I never saw True Blood, so I never got the hype behind
it. He's really good in True Blood.
Yeah, definitely. You'd like him.
Shouldn't he be much tanner if he's living in the tropical rainforest or whatever?
The rays don't come through.
Oh, is that it? Okay, sorry. I guess.
There's lots of shade.
By the way, what is his name? What is his name? Is it Sarsgaard?
Alexander. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe the Won Me Over in 2016 award goes to Alexander Skarsgård, because my whole point was, like, there was things working against me liking that film, and for whatever reason, from the trailers, it looked really cool. So I didn't go to
the
theaters.
The CG. The CG is really cool, too. There's a lot of animal shit going on, and they do it really well.
And like I said,
Samuel Jackson and a gorilla herd wildebeest. That's a thing that happens on the screen. You get to watch it.
Yeah, Oh my God, Samuel L. Jackson is really in everything award should go to Tarzan, too, because, like, I'm watching that trailer, I'm like, was that motherfucking Samuel L. Jackson?
And Margot Robbie is in that. She plays a good Jane.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
She did a really good job.
Yeah, she's a good actress. She did a couple good movies this last year. Heather, let's go to you.
Okay. The Luke, I'm Your Father award is going to go to Anton Yelchin, and I wasn't sure if I could pick this one or not because it's listed on one of my viewings as a 2015 movie, but it's also listed as 2016 with Green Room, where Anton Yelchin almost loses his arm almost all the way off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it really, really hurts me thinking about it. It was really awful.
Yes.
Looking at it, duct taping it.
My only problem with that movie is the fact that he could not have been, like, he would have passed out unconscious from the pain. Even if they duct taped it up and did everything, and he goes on to kind of be like...
I don't know if anyone can hear me, but I have no audio all of a sudden.
Oh, we can hear you.
It might be my connection.
I can hear you.
Sorry.
I can hear you.
I'm stepping over anybody.
You're talking over everyone. Should we just do the show without him?
No, but this could be funny.
It would be funny if we were just doing the show, and he has this tiny little, like monologue going on in the background. Like, oh, this computer sucks. My balls itch, too. Jesus. Hope they can't hear me. Do we lose?
I would be totally content with doing that.
Way to screw it up, George.
George.
Oh, this is going to be a fun edit.
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. In other news... My apologies.
Okay, well, apparently Colorado has weed and a whole bunch of stuff. What they don't have is good, like, internet connection. So you had a comment about Green Room, I think, is where we left off.
I agree that was a kick-ass film. And, you know, how can you go wrong with Patrick Stewart playing, like, a neo-Nazi white supremacist punk guy leader? Just good stuff all around.
Well, and the Arn theme plays that we've kind of sang the praises of the movie for, like, a while now. And, like, I've said many times, it's a drama. It's a horror movie disguised as a drama. So the arm shank, the Luke Award, is very fitting. And the scene and it happening in that movie is very fitting because it's a very horror movie moment. But I think, like, you don't feel like you're in a horror movie, so it's not as intense. It's almost a little more graphic because it's a drama.
Yeah, that kind of stuff doesn't usually bother me, and I'm not squeamish about anything at all in general. And that part had me going, ugh.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
I was like, stop it. There's duct tape. Okay, that's still not enough.
Well, I love it, though. That's the typical guy mentality, though. It's like, my arm is falling off, duct tape. It works.
Zip ties and duct tape all day.
We got no super glue? Give me some fucking duct tape.
That's it. Good.
MacGyver any wound. Any man will MacGyver a wound. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, what is your next award?
All right, so my next award is Thanks for Ruining Thanksgiving Award. Goes to Don't Breathe. I shall never look at a turkey baster the same way again.
Oh, that's so gross.
And yeah. I don't want to spoil it for anybody out there who might be haven't seen it, but turkey baster.
Yeah, can I just throw on too? The fucking Don't Tell Me What to Do award goes to Don't Breathe. I don't like these fucking titles of like, oh God, what was the other one? There was a couple this year. It was like, don't do this or that. And I'm like, I kind of don't like movie titles yelling at me.
Kai just doesn't like anyone telling him what to do.
Yeah, did you guys know
you all breathe if I want.
There's
I'm just going to breathe. I don't care.
Totally. If I don't breathe, I'm not going to get through this fucking movie, even if it is only 88 minutes. I swear to Christ.
Like, you want me breathing so I can tell everybody how awesome or shitty your movie is.
Yeah, exactly. There's another one. I don't know if you guys know. There's this toy or this cartoon called Yo-Kai Watch.
I think I've heard of that.
Okay, so whenever I'm walking through Target, I see it. I'm like, I'm watching. You're not doing anything. You're just fucking sitting there, a little toy. Okay, so I'm going through the list of films that came out this year, and I guess I was going to do the You're Talking to Me award goes to Yo-Kai Watch the Movie, which sounds like a statement directed directly at me.
Yo-Kai, watch the movie!
Yeah, it sounds like aggressive. Like, I don't like aggressive titles. Anyway, going back to turkey basters.
Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, has everybody seen Don't Breathe?
Yes.
Know what I'm talking
no,
about?
I have not seen it yet.
Yes.
Okay, well, I can't I'll ruin it, but it definitely worth a rent. It's a great horror film, by the way. Love Fede Alvarez, love what he did with the Evil Dead remake.
Yes.
Good things to come from that guy. But anyways, Stephen Lang, amazing villain in that. Earlier we were talking about disgusting things. You know, Jared, this is pretty bad too. This is right up there with, you know, horrible things. Just imagine what you could do with a turkey baster. I'll just leave it at that.
I've already thought of a lot of things since I haven't seen it. You guys have been talking. I started to daydream about turkey basters. It's gross.
I'll write that down for later.
All right, well, let's. What you're going to do with a turkey baster? Let's go to George. George, what is your next one?
All right, let's see. I will go with the Always Look on the White Side of Life. Milfi goes to Everything and Everyone in Gods of Egypt.
Yes!
Oh, is this the whitewash movie of the year?
This is the whitewash movie of the fucking decade.
Yeah, like, just because you throw Gerard Butler in something doesn't mean you've colored up the film, right?
It's, oh, God. I don't even know how to describe that movie.
Which
like,
you
I like
might
Alex
be.
Proyas and Proyas, he, like, there's, it's not like the worst movie ever. Which is the weird catch to it. It's not the worst movie ever. It's just.
Well,
like,
I was gonna say, could you give it a pass? If it's at least a good movie.
And it's not a good movie, but it's not like the worst ever. But like, you know, the whole whiteness of it kind of makes it even worse.
Well, and there was somebody put an article out actually defending how the strength of the movie. Saying that it was actually a much better movie than people gave it credit for. I saw it. It was all right. It was good, you know, like throwaway popcorn fodder. I mean, I wouldn't go to the theater to see it.
Yeah, it's not the worst ever.
Like, it came to HBO, and I was like, oh, that's a title that I'm ready to watch on cable, you know? Like, that kind of thing.
But, like, I wanted to watch them punch each other in the face a lot with their god powers. All right.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
Totally.
But it's like, it's just, what the shit are you doing? It's like the same thing with Ridley Scott, you know, Exodus.
The Last Airbender, Prince of Persia. You know.
Don't talk about The Last Airbender. I'm still pretty sore about that.
Have we not given him? Apparently, he's got a pass because apparently Split is amazing. So everybody loves M. Night again.
That's what I heard.
It's about time. That's good.
Yeah. I've always said, because of the three films, because of Signs, Unbreakable, and The Sixth Sense, he should have a pass to make films for the rest of his career, whether they're good or not.
Right?
I agree entirely. I keep going to see him because of that.
But now it's cut. I have to agree, I guess.
Yeah, I really liked The Visit. I thought it was more in form with what he had done in the past, although it wasn't perfect. It was a very good film, I thought. And I really look forward to seeing Split. So, you know. Anyway, moving on. Who's next? Who comes after George? I already did one, so why don't we go back to Heather?
Oh, it's my turn again. That's silly. Okay, this is my please follow Pokemon Go warnings and don't trespass award. Goes to John Goodman for 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, I was going to piggyback on that
for a second. Yeah. There's going to be some good shit coming for that, I promise too.
I have an award for that also, and mine's called the This Is What Happens When You Meet a Stranger in the Alps Award goes to John Goodman for 10 Cloverfield Lane. Good stuff.
All right, full award winner.
You want to piggyback on it, George?
No, just Mark's. I already knew that was coming.
Oh, you know Mark's was coming. Okay, yeah. John, wouldn't it be funny if he did have a Pokestop near his house and people just kept going there and he fucking was just pulling them in from the fucking cornfields?
That's exactly what I picture.
How did everybody feel about 10 Cloverfield Lane? Did it live up? I mean, like...
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it was not anything I expected, and I loved that about it.
Well, I think some people might have felt it was too far of a divergence from the original film, which I love. I hope everybody loves it. It was such a...
It's not like a sequel. It's just part of... It's in the same universe. It could be whatever.
Yeah.
I understand that intentionally, but, like, it didn't have the excitement throughout. It was much more of a,
sure.
You know, one room...
Intimate, close.
Yeah, thriller almost. And then, you know, there's an ending to it, too. I won't go into that, but...
Yes, there is.
And they just announced they're going to do a third one within the world, so... Yeah. That's
really I'm down. I'm down. Bring it on.
I don't know.
I'm sold.
I don't know how I feel about them announcing it. I actually like that the other ones just pop up and existed out of nowhere.
And you want to know what's funny too is I was making my top five movies of the year for The Lamb, and I was just scrolling through because I forget things, and you do, especially at the beginning of the year, you forget movies that came out in January, February, etc. And I had completely forgot about it, and then it ended up being in my top five when I really looked at everything and thought about it.
That movie, I think it is really amazing. It really fucking is.
And unexpected. And I was very pleasantly surprised when I watched it.
Absolutely.
And I'm all for the next one being totally different again. That's
yeah, totally. Take it another route.
As long as it has John Goodman.
As long as it has John Goodman.
Yeah, just, I don't want to say anything, I guess. I was going to spoil something, but I won't.
Okay, yeah, don't do that. All right, Mark, do you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my next one is Who Needs the Death Star When You Have the Beastie Boys? Goes to Star Trek Beyond. Yeah. I mean, who knew?
Clap all around, yeah.
Who knew that you could destroy an alien hive drone race with the Beastie Boys' Sabotage? Listen, all of y'all, it's a sabotage. And then, like, the space station's like, we gotta play the song too. Go, go, go. It was just awesome. I went with it. It's okay.
Classical music.
It's classical funny music. That's the one song that has survived. How many hundreds of years? It's like amazing, and it's so perfect. I really got to give that movie credit for having some nice callbacks and some nice shout outs. I thought the short shout out to George Takei having his character have a husband was really sweet. I liked
absolutely. He was upset about that.
George Takei didn't like it at all.
He didn't like it really. I didn't hear that. I thought it was a nice like tribute.
He said that wasn't how Gene Roddenberry saw the character, and it should have stayed true to the original.
Well, he's
something.
Way late to that boat.
He's
about 7 years late on that.
I thought it was going to be like a really big deal because there was so much BS about it at first, and then it was just this really small moment. I thought it was great. I thought it was fine. I thought it was good that they didn't make it a big deal. It was just normality.
Yeah. By the way, the Is There a Baby Dying in the Background award goes to MILFcast. Does someone have a child screaming right now?
I do. Mine's freaking out.
Do you need to tend to that? Or do you have people?
No, they're fine. Just leave them.
Daddy's taking care of him. I think.
Presumably. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Or not.
It really doesn't sound like it, but okay. Well, then let's go to George. George, you give us your next one.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm giving you some space there because I want to. So this one, I have an audio clip with it. So like, I don't know how to do this. If I should, I have it on my phone. I just wanted to play it and see how it sounded.
Sure, go ahead.
Having much luck with technology here, today,
yeah,
George.
I know I'm not. So I'm hoping this is going to work out. So I don't know if we have to edit this out or whatever.
Don't do that. Now I have to edit it out. No, it's staying in. Fuck that.
All right, fine. Fuck that. All right. I gotta set it up. All right, so the fastest lisp in China, Milfy, goes to Mike Tyson from Ip Man 3.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and here, I gotta play. I'll play the clip for you. Here we go.
Oh my God!
That thing who fit to the fan.
You know what? That didn't bring everything to a screeching halt. Hey, the one thing I like about you guys is you see movies like Ip Man 3, which is why you are my people. I have not seen Ip Man 3. I think I'm one of the few that has seen 1 and 2, though. How was Ip Man 3? It threw me for a loop when I saw Tyson was in it. Was it good?
I love Ip Man 3. Yeah, it's totally awesome. Fine, okay. I mean, if you love Donnie Yen, if you love just seeing him get into fights and fighting Mike Tyson, then it's
and
for
you.
You.
Yeah, do you like hearing say a lot of S words? Like, then that's your movie.
Exactly. Do you want to see Mike Tyson act? Ip Man 3 is your game.
Yeah, seriously.
This is Fist of the Fastest. Awesome. So I don't want to oversell Mike Tyson, though. He's a really small part of the movie.
Yeah,
but,
I know. I'll
see
it for Donnie.
In the gusto of his lisp.
I will see it for Donnie Yen. I don't think people know Donnie Yen, like the extent of his work. Everyone should know him now from Star Wars.
They know now.
Yeah, extensive totally.
Body of work.
And he's the only reason I'll go see a Triple X, probably, at some point.
I am with the Force, the Force is with me. I am with the Force, the Force is with me. I am with the Force, the Force is with me.
That's the guy.
Right. That right there. Good.
All right.
Go.
Well, I'm going to give you guys another one. This one is this one's kind of dumb, but I'm going to do it anyway. I got a deep breath. This is like Mark's first one. I got a deep breath in, all right? All right.
One long breath.
The Something's Fishy Award goes to Finding Dory, Deepwater Horizon, The Mermaid, The Fifth Wave, Manchester by the Sea, The Lobster, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, The Shallows, The Light Between the Oceans, and Sausage Party.
All right.
Touché.
I gotta parse that out. Holy crap.
I don't think you could repeat that again on your best day.
That
was awesome.
I don't think I could either, no. I'm not even sure it was worth it, to tell you the truth. All right, so let's go to Heather. Heather.
Mine is going to be really controversial, so we were just talking about how politics suck, so everyone can piss off, but mine is going to be the Abort the Baby Award.
What? Jeez. From someone who just had a baby, by the way.
Just hear me out, okay?
Terminate.
It's my pro-choice award. It goes to Jack Reacher. And it's across the board one of those things that I get really annoyed. For some reason, movies feel like they need to add a kid character into it to either, like, show more peril or connect emotionally or something. And Jack Reacher, of all films, should not have had that. So the sequel with the daughter, if they had taken the daughter completely out of the movie, I think it would have been watchable and enjoyable. And it was completely pointless to have her in it, even though she wasn't his daughter. I'm not going to care about saying spoiler here because I doubt anybody wants to see it other than me anyway.
It was fine.
It was a fine movie, but there's a lot of movies where you feel like why are there even children in this movie?
It doesn't seem to fit. I've not seen the new one, but it doesn't seem to fit with what Jack Reacher was.
Exactly. And I've read a lot of his books, the books too, and I really enjoy them. And this is not one of the books of his. The series that I've read, his character's this kind of like standoff, you know, loner guy who just kind of goes and does stuff. And at the beginning, you find out that they think that this girl might be his daughter. The mom is trying to get like,
are you going to do a play-by-play of Jack Reacher right now? Seriously?
No. But anyway, the point is, so he starts having all this emotional attachment, having to protect her, and she keeps doing stupid shit and fucking everything up.
Wait. I have a question. Does he have to do an arm wrestling competition at the end?
No, but that would have been better.
All right, just
you brought up abortion and then a guy named Reacher, which I think is kind of gross, too.
So that's my pro-choice Abort the Baby Award, and it's not very good, but I think my point is somewhat fine.
Okay.
Man, that was too serious. You're bringing the podcast down.
Damn it. I told you. I thought I was going to get maybe three, and then Kai would be like, enough of Heather's shit.
No, I just like, I
need to end the show.
I hate when Heather like starts with like, she's talking about a movie, and then it's like, and then the plane touched down, and then we see John McClane, and then blah, blah, blah. And then when she gets to Hans Gruber, I'm like, stop telling me about the movie. Like, I don't need the play-by-play, girl.
I can't help myself.
I swear to God. She just talks, guys.
Now I miss Ellen.
It's so weird, humans talking.
I wonder if people actually think we're serious when we do this shit, too. I swear to God, Heather. Do you think?
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Some people have to.
Yeah.
But then I think, you know, sometimes people ask me to go on their shows, and I always wonder why. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people get us at all.
That's all right. Nobody's listening anyway. Let's go to Mark. Mark, give us one more good one. We're going to do one more good one each, and we can do a little rapid fire if you have leftovers, but, like, give me one more good one, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
All right. So this one, too, might be a little bit controversial. I'm just going to put that out there. So this is the Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better Because Pussy Farts Are Funny, Too award goes to Ghostbusters, Kate McKinnon. You know, I got to say, you know, they're all about, like, let's flip the script and let's have it all be female. And I was fine with that. I wanted it to be a good movie. But I was, you know, pleasantly surprised that they went there. They did have a pussy fart joke.
Yeah, as all films should.
As all films.
If nothing,
term is queef, but
sorry,
okay.
This is more descriptive. It's
hashtag queef at the end of this episode also.
hashtag queef, hashtag fuck people.
Hashtag pussy fart.
Oh my God. You can't tell me that watching Schindler's List, like a little pussy fart at the end, could have relieved a little tension in the middle of that story. You know what I mean?
Any movie could have used pussy fart humor, it was definitely Schindler's List.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I like that one, Mark.
Hashtag Schindler's List.
Oh, God. This is going to be a Heather? Heather's going to take you seriously. Heather, I don't need the, like, hate email, so do not throw Schindler's List on your pussy fart queef hashtags for this episode. I swear to God.
Okay, if we put pussy fart, we're going to get all sorts of, like, man-hating Trump haters come on here, too. I mean, it's just going to bring in an array of bad things.
You can block people. That's okay.
It's fine. Yes, it's definitely fine. Plus, half my hashtags don't make sense.
Okay, wait. Let's go back. Let's stop for one sec, bringing that up. Since now we've crossed over to something we've talked about on the show before. Andy, our friend from the UK, was on a few episodes back telling us that a Trump in where he lives is a fart, right?
Yes.
I've heard that, yeah.
It's very common in the UK, apparently.
What is the female Trump? Is it a Melania? Like,
question.
Did Kate McKinnon had a Melania or an Ivanka?
I like Ivanka.
Ivanka sounds good. Yeah.
It sounds like Donald. It works better, right? All right, let's go to George, sorry.
Okay, let me see what I got left here.
That sorry was for the audience, not for you guys.
I think I have two left here that are kind of, I was on the fence about.
Give them both.
All right, let's go. All right, number one. So I had a few for Captain America, obviously. So next one, the bulging biceps of badassery, Milfy, goes to Chris Evans in Captain America: Civil War. The part where he's holding the helicopter with Bucky's driving or flying it away.
Oh, yeah.
Impressive. I remember that. Where it looks like he just has, like, human skin over just rippling muscles that are just about to burst out and just strangle everything in existence.
That was more gratuitous for his biceps than the Dr. Pepper thing in Hell or High Water.
I could not believe what I was looking at. Jesus Christ, dude.
Neither could I. He looked good.
Yeah.
All right, give us the
I like that all the men are appreciating on the show, and I'm sitting here shutting the fuck up.
Because you only saw Jack Reacher 2 this year. That's the only movie you watched from this year.
That's it. That's all I saw. And the whole time all I was thinking about was abortions.
Jesus Christ. There abortion we go. No hashtag for that, please. All right. What's
hashtag
the other one?
We're not going to hashtag abortion.
Yeah, I'll be like, going to do the hashtag abortion, hashtag terminate.
Okay, I'm going to now.
No. All right.
Second one. The double-barreled Berg, Milfy, goes to Deepwater Horizon and Patriot's Day. If that makes any sense. You got
It's the Peter Berg connection.
Mark Wahlberg.
Bird.
Both of those movies are not turd. I like both those movies.
I heard Bird, so that's where I got confused. So Peter Berg. Ah. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, Peter Berg, Mark Wahlberg.
You need to accentuate your G's, George.
You go ahead. You go ahead, Stewie Griffin.
Yeah, give us a little Stewie. We always have impressions on the show. Let's hear a little Stewie.
Well, I might say it's a little Stewie. I miffed about Mother Martha's merely ending moment, Milfy, in Batman v Superman.
I give that a 7 out of 10. Not bad.
Oh, all right. I got to end this thing with the annual award we give. We stumbled into this award in, I want to say, the first year or second year we did this, you guys. It's the Unstoppable Award.
Yay, you did it, Kai.
Yeah, and George gave me a nice lead-in on this, so I appreciate it. The Unstoppable Award was given to Unstoppable as the film that frustrated me because it was called Unstoppable and they stopped the fucking train. So it's not Unstoppable. It doesn't make sense. I believe another winner of this award went to the film Flight, which was about a plane that crashed, and then the movie that took place on the ground doesn't make any fucking sense at all. So every year there seems to be a title that frustrates me, and we have dubbed it the annual Unstoppable Award. So this year I'm giving the Unstoppable Award to Captain America Civil War. This movie should be called The Avengers 3, You Assholes.
Yeah,
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Okay.
That's why I liked it so much.
It's fine if you do a Captain America movie like Winter Soldier and you have Black Widow. I've always wondered if Thor's over in New York tussling it up in his Thor movie by himself, why Iron Man wouldn't just fly down and help him. He's got, you know, he'd be aware of it. Wouldn't they just run and help each other anyway? Same thing in the comic books. But, you know, it's fine if Black Widow's there or we introduce Falcon. But this film had the most Avengers we'd ever seen and introduced new ones that hadn't even been in other movies yet. And it's a fucking Avengers movie. I know it's centered around Chris Evans, but it also centered almost as much around Robert Downey Jr.'s character. It's a goddamn Avengers movie.
Yeah, they had a whole backstory with his parents and everything, too.
Yeah.
They focus on a lot of stuff. It's definitely not the Chris Evans show. Like, by
Oddly enough, some of the scuttlebutt I heard from behind the scenes was that Marvel knew that DC was coming up with their Batman v Superman, and they were like, fuck you, DC, we got something better! And so they just threw the Avengers all into Captain America Civil War and made that go instead.
Not like Marvel has to work that hard to be that much better than DC at this point.
Yeah,
they're not making enough money.
I don't know that they feel threatened by DC.
I don't think so.
But I would think I could see them doing something like that. They're like, just to spite them,
Fair enough. Well, they could still do that and just be shitty about it because they can and they can get away with it.
They're going to make more top 10 lists than with Doctor Strange than Batman v Superman will. You know what I mean? I don't feel.
Oh, for sure.
I think it was always kind of going down this road. I think what got changed was the rights to Spider-Man. I think that threw everything in flux. I mean, it pushed Inhumans completely off the map. In fact, it pushed them to TV. And they had to force feed Spider-Man in now to kind of get the hype train going for that. And they actually did a really good job. I don't know about you guys, but I like young Spider-Man. Spider-Man was meant to be a teenage boy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I agree. Yeah.
I will say, this is the first time, totally honestly, this is the first time I've actually liked Spider-Man, like, ever.
Really?
Ever. I don't have, like, a coherent fucking argument for this. I just, Spider-Man doesn't do it for me. But
high five. I feel the same way usually.
Okay, so we lost George again. I don't know what happened.
Is this thing on?
I don't talk about this ever because Kai just might, kick me off the show.
Yeah, we actually, we lost the contest.
I'm giving praise to him in this movie, so.
And let me give a little praise to Tom Holland. I think he's doing a very good job. One thing, I always had a nice soft spot for Tobey Maguire. He was the first Spider-Man. I actually liked the way Andrew Garfield, the way they did the eyes on his costume, I actually liked a lot. And I liked the way they used his sarcasm a lot more. Now it seems they have a nice blend of the sarcasm and the youth and the power. It's the first time they've showed the power of Spider-Man when he grabs Winter Soldier's arm.
That was awesome.
A lot of people don't know Spider-Man at one point was like the third strongest character in the entire Marvel Universe behind like Hulk and Thor. Like he's a strong fucking dude.
And that's the thing too that I would say about Spider-Man in general. This is the first time I've liked him in film. I've always liked Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'll sit there and say I've never been a Superman fan ever in any capacity. Spider-Man I've always liked, but I don't think he's been represented well in film. But then what do I know?
I'll definitely say this, though. If this leads to more say 20th Century Fox or whatever who owns X-Men or other studios who own the Marvel characters going, maybe we should let Marvel have some of these characters back.
Oh, my God.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I would love to see. There's these great one-offs of, like, Punisher kills the Marvel universe where the Punisher just goes through and, like, kills everybody.
Right.
Like, everybody. And could you imagine you have a fucking, a Civil War-style Avengers movie and then the fucking X-Men come running across? And then you've got this full-on blowout battle as they're all battling Magneto and Thanos and Galactus. Oh, my God, dude. Be amazing. Anyway, I'm not going to dote on those anymore. That's it. That's my Unstoppable Award. Goes to Captain America Civil War. That's going to bring us to the end of the main ones, you guys. Does anybody... George, I think your list is exhausted, correct?
It is totally flamed out.
Okay, good. Because you don't like Spider-Man, so we don't want to talk to you anymore. Heather, do you have any that you want to just throw out?
No, I do not.
Do you have any?
Yeah, I do. We don't want to talk about them. Okay. I just threw out an abortion. Okay?
That sounds weird, dude.
You just drew out an abortion? Did you?
Jesus Christ.
Hashtag terminate.
No. Do not hashtag terminate.
Hashtag fuck people.
I need sleep so bad.
All right, then Mark. Mark,
hashtags.
Why don't
as a matter
you...
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do have a couple more. I have the best representation of food products having disgustingly depraved sex goes to Sausage Party.
Nice.
And then I have the most amazing melting face award goes to Tommy Lee Jones and Jason Bourne. Like, I felt like his face was just dripping off the screen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just me. My wife even turns to me at one point. She goes, "Is Tommy Lee Jones' face looks like it's melting?"
We need to do that. Just... That should be an annual award for you, Mark. You need to figure out the name of the character from Indiana Jones, the Nazi guy whose felt his face melts off. We need to figure out his character's full name and give an annual award for him of the person whose
he might
face
know
is
that.
Me off.
He might know that already.
His name is Tut.
There you go.
I told you. There you go.
It's the annual Tut Award.
Yeah, we should do that. All right, so let me give you my rapid-fire one-liners. I've got like five of them, all right?
Oh, all right.
Nice. All right. The worst table to sit at in heaven award goes to Elvis and Nixon.
Nice.
The third best film of the year award goes to The Bronze. The
Fair enough.
Timely follow-up award goes to My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
I sense sarcasm.
The Sounds Like a Sex Move award goes to Midnight Special.
Nice.
The Am I the Only One Who Thinks It's Called the Big Fucking Giant award goes to the BFG. And finally, the I Thought It Was an Aerosmith Documentary Award goes to Jane Got a Gun. There we go.
Nice.
Those were better than the ones you mentioned in the first place.
I know, but they're one-liners. It's not the worst thing giving a quick one-liner pun joke and nobody says anything or laughs, which is what I anticipated, so I didn't want to do it. Anyway, this brings us to the end of the show. Hey, guys, I want to thank you so much. I hope we can have you back on again next year. We can do this again. Please, I know you guys are just dads right now. Can anybody find you on Twitter or anywhere on the universe? Are you doing anything right now, or you just want to say bye to everybody? Do that now.
You know what? I'm still on Twitter, Marcus Welby 1.
There you go. So check out Mark there. What about you, George?
Call me Sir Phobos on pretty much everything.
I've already told you or I don't like people barking at me, like, don't breathe, call me Sir Phobos.
Well, you have to call me Sir Phobos, so.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, so check those guys out on Twitter. Heather, what do we want to promote before we go?
We don't want to promote Twitter because Kai and I try and be on Twitter, and then we suck at it. We always tell everybody, hey, we're on Twitter. You
too
know,
much
I've been
Trump.
On Twitter.
I'm on Facebook, and if you're not my family, then sorry, you're just not going to find me.
There you go.
Yeah, that. And if you want to friend me on Facebook, I probably won't let you because I think you have to be friends with somebody I'm friends with to friend me on Facebook. But you can follow us on Facebook at MILFcast, which is fine. But actually, our Instagram is a whole lot of fun right now. So you should go there. We're MILFcast there because I'm playing a game with Kai's wife.
There you go. And we are on Twitter at Kiderman, at Heather_Kenobi. I try to tweet. I'm going to I get a little depressed when I get on there with all the Trump back and forth, but I'll try to get on there more as it settles down in the weeks to come, hopefully. Anyway,
It's not going to.
We will be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode in our normal format, so stay tuned for that. Anyway, that's about it. I could do this all day, but there's beers to be drank, movies to be seen. Let's go, 2017. I'm going to go do that. We'll see you next time. Heather?
You dumb shit.
Is that for me?
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
You know, it was from Tremors.
Game over, man. Game over.
Game over.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
I think I can end every show with a Tremors quote, because they're the only ones that I can do anyway. You walked into that.
That was John Hurt's send-off.
I want to poke Kai's moles. I love it when you try to make a good, nice point and I mess it all up.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I've had way too much coffee today.
All right, yes. Whenever you're done. Last two shows, okay. You've been off the rails, so suck it up. All right, here we go.
All right.